Well, after a couple of weeks absence because of my health issues off and on, it's nice to have our good friends from the Lakeville Journal back on the air with us. Of course, tricornernews.com, where you'll find both the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News. And there's a lot to talk about that has gone on in our area, especially over the last week. So we say good morning to both Cynthia Hasswinder and to Janet Manco. Good morning.
Happy to be back with you.
Yeah.
It's nice to have you back with us. And I've been talking about, we are really in the winter season, whether the weather likes it or not, because we had the Jump Fest. We have this weekend up in Sheffield. They have their ice festival. And then, of course, next week is the 22nd through the 26th. We have the Junior Nationals. And then we have that weekend, the winter weekend in Norfolk. So we're in winter, whether the weather shows it or not.
More important than anything, of course, is the beginning of maple syrup season.
You know, you're right. I've actually seen some posts on it that the maple syrup is flowing.
It's flowing, and it's been actually ideal weather for it, with temperatures over 40 degrees during the day and under freezing at night. But of course, as you say, there's been a lot going on, and you can't underestimate the importance of Jump Fest and the ski jumping festivals to our region. Not only with the Jump Fest, as you said, last weekend, but with the upcoming Junior Nationals, which is a huge big deal for people around here and for the jumpers themselves.
And of course, the weekend drew record crowds on Friday night, record crowds on Saturday, and near record crowds on Sunday. The people that turned out, once again, it's an Olympic year, so that always helps. And also there was some snow. So a really good weekend for the Salisbury Winter Sports Association. And you've got the story by Patrick Sullivan right there on the front page.
We've been looking at some of our back issues, our archival stories and photos, and working with the Salisbury Association on some history pictures. And when you look at those old photos from the 70s of the jumps, it's remarkable how many people you would see standing around watching the jumps. And I think that we equaled or even surpassed some of those really record weekends. Well, it was a record weekend, so, but really huge crowds. And as I always say to people, it's not really just about the jumps. It's a very social weekend. And in the same way that our towns used to have their town meeting in mud season, and it was a good opportunity for people to get out of the house after being fairly isolated for a while, the ski jumps perform that same function to some degree, in that it's a really great opportunity to be outdoors, see a lot of people you haven't seen for a while. It's very relaxing. It's very sociable. And you never have to worry about not having conversation because the jumps are right there in front of you. So we had great crowds for the human dog sled race on Friday night, which does not involve dogs at all. And of course, for target jumping under the lights on the Fridays, what the jumpers do is they try to hit a target. Whereas on Saturday and Sunday for the official jumps, they're being scored on not only the distance that they jump, but also jumping style. Great spectator weather on Saturday, but much better conditions for the jumpers themselves on Sunday.
All right. Another big story that Patrick Sullivan has on the front page, and that Congress now, especially in our area, has signed in, and the Wild and Scenic Plan for the Housatonic River has some new life flowing through it.
That's right. And so, as you know, all of us in the media get these last minute reports from our elected officials that sort of say, like, we're coming through like a freight train tomorrow. And so we found out on Thursday night that Chris Murphy and Johanna Hayes, our representatives in Washington, D.C., were going to be in the Northwest corner on Friday and really doing a whistle stop tour, doing a lot of fun athletic events. They went to the curling club in Norfolk. They went to the ski jumps, but perhaps most important, they came to the town of Kent to meet with officials about the wild and scenic designation for the Housatonic River. There may be people who feel like this is just a symbolic naming, but it's actually quite important. And I think that a lot of the people who have devoted their lives to protecting the Housatonic River, who cleaned it up from being a place where people would dump refrigerators and park school buses and leave trash, it's become a beautiful, clean river, a destination for fishermen. And a lot of these members of the Housatonic River Commission and other nonprofit groups feel that they may not be here forever, and they want to know that protections are in place for the river, and wild and scenic status will help to make sure that our river is protected and remains pristine the way it is now.
The big story on your front page is, and I didn't realize that Craig Miner really has been involved in politics, elected to represent people basically from 1991 on. And he announced that this is his last term in office.
I remember Craig Miner back when he was a state rep. He's done a lot for our community and does a nice job of balancing. You know, people often say that Litchfield County is so strongly Democrat, you know, which is great for the Democrats, but there's also a very strong Republican constituency here too. And Craig Miner has done a good job of representing that constituency here. So he, as with our federal officials, he announced recently, just sort of unexpectedly, that he was not going to run for election. Another candidate has already stepped in, but it will be interesting to see who will step up for this very important position of state senator.
And a sports story on your front page. Not only does Hoosie March on the girls, but a big night for Sydney Sagala as she joined a very select club at athletic-wise in basketball at Housatonic Valley Regional High School.
I'm going to let Janet talk about this, but I first want to say the Sagala family, outstanding, extraordinary athletes in this family. And Sydney's older sister, Lauren, of course, was in the newspaper quite a bit. And like her sister, Sydney, they're both multi-sport athletes. And so Sydney is a phenomenal soccer player, as her sister, Lauren, was, but is also a phenomenal basketball player and is already, I believe she's going to Boston College. But Janet was actually at the game, so I'm going to let Janet talk about the excitement of watching Sydney play.
It was at the game, and it was exciting watching Sydney play and that entire team. And I have to say, Lewis Mills also was a great team that they played against for this game. That they're just phenomenal young ladies who do this sport and are really good at it and passionate about it. And boy, Sydney Sagala is, first among them as far as scoring 1,000 points. So, you know, think about that during COVID as well, that, you know, at times when it was hard for these games to happen, et cetera, that's quite an achievement for her high school career. So we had a story on the 1,000 points being reached last week. And this week we talk about the celebration she had after she scored the first point in this game. Yeah. On Saturday. And so congratulations to Sydney and to this whole team who supports her so well and who works together so well to win games. They're having a great winning season.
I want to go on to the next page. And you have a great list, and parents should be listening to this. A scholarship and grant opportunities. You have a list of scholarships and grants that are available for students that are right on the next page.
So we try to take this page, which we refer to as A2, the second page in the front section, we try to make it sort of a family and friends page. An important part of that is scholarships and grants. And this is the season for applications. And coming up in a few months, we will have the list of who has been able to give grants to these students. And a lot of students who apply for multiple grants and are able to actually put a nice dent into their college expenses.
And a new principal has taken over the reins at the Lee H. Kellogg School.
Right. Stacy Callow sounds like a very interesting person at one of our most beloved little schools in Falls Village, taking over from Robin Faust. And she had a nice meet and greet with the students last week.
And next to that is a story that I think we'll see for all area towns that are involved in it. Salisbury has now decided to stick with the Myra trash plan. And of course, along with that, they have to find a new place to take the trash to. And also prices are going up for everybody.
As Patrick Sullivan keeps saying, this is the biggest story in our region right now. And everybody's going to be seeing the impact of it, not only in increases in our trash tipping fees, which you'll see in your tax bills, but also in the ways that the different transfer stations are going to start having to try to reduce costs. So some of the towns are looking at composting, for example, as a way to take a lot of really wet, heavy garbage out of the regular trash flow. We have Terry Cowgill next week, I believe, coming up on A1, who's doing a nice summary of exactly what's going on here. Patrick's fear is that even though he writes about it every week, and Leela Hawken also writing from all the different towns, that people aren't really focusing on it. So we're hoping that people will read Terry's article next week, which will be a lively and clear explanation of what's going on.
All right. Nice little story about something that is going on at Noble Horizons, put together by Noble Horizons and the Scoville Library. And that is the Harlem Renaissance on February 28th.
Right, Harlem Renaissance, which is an important art movement in New York City. And also, if you turn the page, Scoville Memorial Library, Noble Horizons, and Salisbury Session and Salisbury Association and Salisbury School are doing a three-part class on a study that they've been doing on slavery in the Northwest Corner. We sort of feel like, you know, here in enlightened New England, in the, you know, steps away from John Brown's birthplace, that we have a very clean history, but of course we don't. So two very interesting projects, presentations that we are all invited to take part in.
And talking about rates arising in Salisbury, water and sewer rates are going to be going up.
Right. Fair. So many people in our region have well and septic, so they have their own water sources. Many of us, like myself, who live in the center of town, are lucky enough to benefit from town water and town sewer. And it's very expensive to upgrade these systems, as anybody knows who's had to upgrade their own well or their own septic. So we have all these pipes running through town. They're relining the pipes, which is important. I remember in Sharon, it must have been 10, 15 years ago, they had to redo all of the pipes because the pipes were too small for the amount of usage that they were getting. It was a huge, massive cost, but really worth it. Sharon's water is very good right now. And of course, in Salisbury, we have excellent water.
And also in Cornwall, a couple stories there. First, we'll talk about the wastewater project. They're looking for funds for that.
Right. And so the importance of the wastewater project, which seems like such a silly thing that we write about it all the time, but really what it is the part of Cornwall known as West Cornwall, where the iconic covered bridges and where so many of the little businesses are, there's very limited expansion available for businesses and residences there because of the septic system and the availability of water. So having that new wastewater system will allow the town to grow a little bit, which is something that everybody wants.
A nice story by Cornwall about the, and of course we're involved in this with our local access TV station, but bringing town government home via videos, it really became even more important over the past 2 years.
Right. And it's changed a lot of regulations and things on, you know, whether you can have a vote on Zoom and who can attend, et cetera, et cetera. So Cornwall, which has a very strong watchdog population, actually is a very transparent town. But it's interesting that Gordon Ridgway noted a town is not required to have its own website. And what Cornwall has, it's a town nonprofit run website that government documents, government links are listed on. And so they're talking about ways to make what's actually a very attractive website even a little more easy to use.
I think it's one of the best websites around, as a matter of fact. It's very easy to navigate and find what you want. All the towns, by the way, have improved their websites over the past year and a half, 2 years during what's been going on. It's become a vital link to people. And I think it's gotten more people also used to using the internet to find out more information about what's going on in their town.
And thanks to you, it's so easy for people to be able to pop in and out of meetings and to sort of see what's going on without having to necessarily set aside an entire evening. They can fast forward through.
And let's go to a new venue that is opening in Salisbury, a new gallery once again on Academy Street.
Karen Lesage pops up in funny little areas all around. And I remember back when Karen Lesage is living in Falls Village and just doing these wonderful little kind of watercolory saturated thick paper, small artworks, and has really developed a very strong following for these sort of beautiful Rothko-like landscapes. And I remember she had a show in Ken at Rob Ober's gallery a while ago. And he said, you know, Karen Lesage always sells out. People just love her work. So she's had different locations in the area. Right now she's over by Le Bon's in that back area where Thornhill Florist was before.
Once again, the Salisbury Association has come out with another great viewing of, well, seeing as it's Olympic year, and we have, of course, the two ski jumps at Satre Hill. They have the history, really, of ski jumping in our area.
Not just ski jumping, but, you know, small but mighty. Salisbury has sent a lot of people to various Olympics. And, of course, Roy Sherwood, whose very handsome face is showing up on posters all around town, is a famous Olympic ski jumper. But they've got a nice exhibit, as they always do at the Salisbury Association, of some of the history of our local Olympians. Perfect for the ski jump weekend and also perfect for the upcoming junior nationals.
couple stories out of Sharon. First of all, the Rescue Plan Act funding request, some of them have been approved already in Sharon. And of course, they have till next year to spend the money, but they have half the money now. And they've already approved some funding requests that not only include government, but other nonprofits in town.
Right. The Hotchkiss Library of Sharon, which is ongoing with its renovation, which has been fairly quiet at the moment going over there. And many people have noticed the Hotchkiss Library of Sharon is now over in the Herbert Klebs VFW post. But a lot of towns are looking at different ways. I would say Sharon's been particularly organized about it and has its own committee led by the amazing Jill Drew. And then, of course, Sharon Center School looking at putting solar panels up for the school. And interesting, they are not allowed to sell their power back into the grid. Whatever they generate, they have to use for the school.
And what's the story? The Global Eco Drag Show?
We had done a story a little while ago on Elizabeth England, who lives here in Cornwall and had walked the New York City Marathon. It was a very interesting story. And this is Elizabeth's daughter, whose name is Liv Scott. And Liv is doing, you know, again, for a small rural area, we have a lot of very progressive things happening here. And there's a pretty strong drag culture in the Northwest corner, the tri-state region. And so Liv is putting together with two, what she's calling drag kings, a drag show. And it's going to be on Zoom on the 25th, and it's helping to fund a small film called Emergence of Heart.
And we go to the obituary page once again, and we have posted the story on Chris McKenna. And to date, I think that is the most viewed story and commented story that we've ever had, over 6,000 views. Just a death that just really affected so many people in our area.
Yeah, you don't have to go far to find somebody who knew Chris McKenna is just heartbroken with his death. And also Eleanor Pulver from Pine Plains, a very important person in that community.
We'll get to Compass in just a few moments, but first, I guess we should go to the editorial and the viewpoint pages. Your editorial, Janet, we can find some joy and hope now.
Right. You know, we write about a lot of things in our editorials and often controversial issues and looking for solutions. But every once in a while, we have to take a step back and appreciate where we are and have some gratitude for the good things that are happening. So we decided this was a week that should happen, especially after a really historically successful Swasa ski jump weekend. Just couldn't have been better and wonderful that there are so many winter sports fans out there who became acquainted once again on the hill in Salisbury. And just a great weekend. So congrats to them and be ready for the U.S. Ski Jumping and Nordic Combined Junior Nationals, February 22nd to 26th. It's not over yet. And should just be a great year for winter sports. And for that, we're grateful in this area. And also, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you've got also, I love your letters. They go from the Ukraine to the Republican Party, land of the free, home of the brave, talking really, really about the TV, the national anthem. And worries can melt like snow. Spring is coming, which actually goes with your basically editorial.
I know. So I think there's something in the air where we all can sort of feel that at least in this area, we should be grateful for things looking up. And then we do have our letter writers who are thinking about more national and international problems and looking for solutions. And so we have G.A. Mudge and Sharon talking about some possible answers for the Ukraine-Russia aggression happening right now. It's short, it's to the point, but give it a read. And if you like the idea, share them with our Senator Chris Murphy.
And Peter Steiner's cartoon is very, very funny. That's all I'll say about it. When you pick up the paper,
it's really true. This one's laugh out loud.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly what I did. Yeah. And also one of the columns, political discourse amid broken windows and heads.
Right. This is Dick Ollis. And I have to say that if you're looking for a clear-headed look at what happened in this nation on January 6th last year, this is the column to read. Dick is excellent at just telling it like it is and being very detailed, yet understanding of the trends that are happening and what we need to do to combat them. And so give it a read. It's just fantastic. And Tom Shachman talking about Salisbury's taxes, as well as approaches we should be taking with our buildings in this area. So he had talked about the Lakeville train station before. He talks about it a bit again, but he's looking for input from our readers. He wants ideas to share once again in his next column. And we're so glad he's doing this. He's gotten some good response, and we think it's something good for the community.
And Cynthia, we'll go to your bailiwick right now, Compass. First of all, we'll start off with your film review, why you should watch French Dispatch again.
Of course, we are in publishing, so we love French Dispatch, one of our favorite movies. Jan and I actually watched it. We've actually seen it twice. We saw it the second time together. And we did what I'm recommending in the article, which is as you go through, freeze frame or pause it. And there's a lot that's very confusing in it. And we sort of give a guide to how you can watch it. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful film. And especially if you're a fan of the New Yorker magazine or of any of the many interesting actors in this movie, it's worth watching a second time, especially if you found it confusing the first time. We have Caitlin Lyle, who is, of course, a native of the region, talking about sledding, and she found the perfect companion to sled with her, her dog, JT. So she not only talks about how fun it is to sled, but she gives him places to go. Joe Loy, my neighbor here in Lakeville, has been organizing for many years the region, the, what do they call it, the student open recital. So teachers from the area choose a few select students and have them perform in public. I remember doing that as a child when I took piano lessons, and it's unforgettable as a child, that experience of performing in front of an audience. But also if you have children and you're trying to inspire them to take music lessons or to take their music more seriously, this is a great opportunity. So families should definitely come out. Joe would love it. The more the merrier for the children who are performing, of course. And often the music is really good. You spoke about the winter weekend in Norfolk coming up. I love Norfolk, one of the most fascinating, weird little towns ever. And there's a lot of world-class things in many areas, including the beautiful Lewis Comfort Tiffany stained glass windows, architecture by Alfredo Taylor, of course, world-class hiking, cross-country skiing trails. There's going to be skating if the weather stays cold. And there's a history of ski jumping and curling. Of course, never forget curling.
Well, I was going to say, you know, with all the mention of what SWASA does and weekend in Norfolk and also in Sheffield, their ice festival this weekend, you can't forget that curling has been as important to this area and to the state, really, for tourism, I think, as the Salisbury ski jumps have been. And of course, when they put their new clubhouse up, curling got a boost, and it got a boost last Olympics when the United States won the curling gold. So we can't leave them out of the mix for our winter talk.
People often say to me, like, oh, curling, isn't it going to be cold? I'm like, no, it's so toasty in there. You go inside, it's this beautiful, comfortable little lounge. There's a bar, there's tables, there's cushy chairs, there's always chili. It's a really wonderful way to spend a day.
Well, that is just some of the stories you'll find in the Lakeville Journal. Of course, Tri-Corner News is their website. You can find the Lakeville Journal there and also the Millerton News. And yes, folks, when I post articles that have links to those sites, yes, you can get a few for free, but if you want journalism in this area that covers these things, get a subscription. All right. Don't complain to me. Get a subscription, because that's why we put those links up there, so you know where you can find the full coverage.
Thank you so much for that. And we are appreciative of all our readers and those who pick them up at the newsstands and subscribe, whether just digitally or in print as well.
So once again, tricornernews.com is where you'll find them. And of course, on a Thursday morning right here on Robin Hood Radio. Janet, thank you very much. And of course, Cynthia, thank you. We'll speak to you next week.
See you next week.
Thank you, Marshall.